To go back to 1973, when you went out there, so as you say, Iris, you were in between houses. You were in Bishop Street, and then
I didn't expect to be going out to tell it, but as I say, I was offered it, so I took it. It was grand.
Oh, was that seen as being, you know, a good job? You know that you were now. Like
Jacobs, you know, in those days with the office staff work, it was considered a very good job. It was on par with the insurance companies. I mean, you had your own doctor, you had the dentist, yeah. In Bishop Street there was a swimming pool. I mean, the conditions were fantastic. It was considered a very good job, a very good job. I mean, the insurance companies, I think at those stage, was considered one of the best office jobs, and Jacobs was well on par with it for the office staff. Well on par with it.
Okay, and did you get a pension? As well.
Yes, we were in a pension scheme. Yeah, you joined. I think you had to be, 25, 26, 27 to join. It was automatic. You just joined the pension scheme. Mm. It was a good one, yeah.
Mm. And talk to me as well about the, if you say it was a good job and you got in there, so to go through when you were interviewed, do you remember that day that you went in? Who interviewed you for the job?
Miss McCullough. Miss McCullough, she's since dead, Lord of mercy on her. Yeah, she was lovely. She interviewed me.
What were the kind of questions she asked you?
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
I have the letter at home.
Have you? To say you got it?
That's right. I was accepted the first day. The 1st of April, I remember, April Fool's Day, 1974. I had the letter at home signed by Miss McCullough.
Yeah, she was lovely.
Yeah,
lovely
lady.
What did she say to you then, Brenda? Did you remember the questions you were asked or anything?
No, I mean, you're going back
40 years.
Yes,
40 years.
No. Yeah, I was 20 when I joined.
Do you remember coming out and feeling great or feeling, you know, when you...
No, initially I didn't, because I loved what I was doing. I was quite happy in Connolly's, the shoe shop, serving people, trying to satisfy them, giving them what they wanted. And the idea of being... I never had experience of it. To me, it was just typewriters, music, and people in a box, sort of, in, you know, you don't look left, you don't look right, and you didn't talk to anyone. And I didn't like that. To me, that really wasn't what I wanted. I loved mixing with people and meeting with people.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect in office job.
When I came out of the interview, I didn't know whether... I had a few office jobs before that. So I think I remember at the time saying, I don't know whether that now went too well or not. And as well as that, because they were moving to Tala, it wasn't a permanent job, but I felt maybe... If I got in for it was a good job, and I felt if I'd got in for a couple of years anyway, it'd be good experience. So I think I remember at the time saying, well, if I get it, I'll take it, even if it's not long term. But as I say then, it turned out I was there for 35 years. So it was.
It was a great... I mean, it was a wonderful length of time to be working with one factory crowd. You know, in those years, you felt security. You felt that you had a good job. Was that always the case? Did you think that the structure was strong?
Yes, it was. It was a job for life.
Yeah,
it was a job for life. Definitely. Yeah, it was a job for life. It was a home from home, wasn't it? The atmosphere is good. It was great. It was.
You wouldn't last 30 years in a job unless it
was great.
Know, it really was.
It was. Yeah, it was a home from home.
You never got up in the morning at all. No, not this again. You know, I always look forward to going.
Yeah,
and
it was great.
The biscuits on your way down to work and all that. You know, you knew that's where home is. Yeah. You know, that's where my job is, but I enjoy it. Mm. And it was lovely. I used to walk down, because I lived in Kingswood then, the last 30 years. Well... I was there, 74, moved up to Kingswood, and stayed there for 30 years.
Yeah, you just mentioned the smell of the biscuits and that would be unique, wouldn't it?
All the baking, you know, they're on ginger nut today, you know.
And you'd also know when there was a burnt batch, you could smell the burnt batch coming up the air. Rare now, but you could smell, say, somebody's burnt the biscuits.
And it was part of Tala.
There was no square, there was nothing.
No.
It was a bleak, it was a wilderness when I came out.
Yeah, and so how did you cope? I mean, if you say that you took the bus out And so nothing was happening out there.
No, it was to me, it was, oh, I was
working.
And Malloy, the foxes, the Malloys in the village. We used to go there on a Friday. For lunch on a Friday, as Brenda said, those pies where they were, I remember them, they were fabulous. Yeah, yeah, that was lovely. Friday
that was
lunchtime.
And the factories yeah. around.
Yes.
But the houses and.
No, there wasn't much. There wasn't much. I mean, it was the old Belgard Road. It was very bleak when we came out. It really was.
Country.
And then it was country. It was the country.
I remember
yeah.
doing a sponsored walk. And I walked up to the garage and tell him, and we turned around and came back and we said, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that was about. That was probably 40 years ago.
Mm.
You know, before I started in Jacobs. Mm. That would have been 40 years ago, probably. I did a sponsored walk. And I remember coming up and walking up to the petrol station, which is gone since, and just turned around and went back down to the Cessator. And we said, where are we? You know? But that was the way it was. But it's so built up now. But unfortunately, the industries are not there now. There's plenty of houses now. You have Kilimana, you have Kingswood, you have Belgard. You have all in the square, the apartments.
Yeah, the apartments in the
apartments
square.
In square, which are, you know. You have the square, which is, thank God, doing well again, I think. They're rejuvenating it, and there's a bit. You have Shamrock Rovers ground now there. You have the Maldon Hotel. Unfortunately, you've had another hotel that closed up in Talla, in the square. You have plenty of restaurants which come and go, but still, there's a bit of life still going on now. But it's tough times.
But you would have witnessed the town growing, expanding, and all the new buildings going up, and then you would have seen all the factories close as well, and you know the people, being left redundant. And
yes, we saw the happy days and we saw the sad days. Closure.
To go back to the happy days, though, I mean, to talk about the Jacobs as it was a flying factory in the 1970s and 80s. The biscuits, they were rolled out, they were, all this new machinery, the new packaging, and the just talk me through the transportation. How did it all happen? I mean, they come off the assembly line, and what happened then?
Well, we're packed away and put into the boxes.
Yeah, onto the forklift, out into the warehouse, and then when the orders would come in, they'd be picked out onto the lorry, off they'd go, basically.
Mikado, Kimberley, Cocoa Creams were the main concern, the main...
And cream crackers. And club milk.
Yeah, and then when Choc Kimberley came in...
Oh, they were huge.
They were fantastic. Mm. Whoever thought of the Choc Kimberley?
Huge.
Mm-hmm. And the Jelly Stars were good too, the little tins. And of course the Job Shop was great.
We used to
get our biscuits, big boxes, and carry them home.
Where were they going? Did you see the labels, the kind of what part of the country had the most?
Everywhere.
There's nowhere they didn't go. As far as I know, I mean, every shop you go down the country anywhere, you'd obviously Kimberley Mikado, Coconut Creams, you'd see the raspberry custard, Jaffa cakes, you know, everything. Denise, the Marietta, plain biscuits, even. There was a great demand. Mm. And then you had your tins that you opened up and picked out yourself, which we're going back now a long time. Mm. And I remember that as a child, working in Dunora Avenue. In the shop we had the big Jakes.
That's right.
But they opened up and picked out your mix.
I don't think they went to Talla.
No, I'm talking as a child.
I know that. Yeah, those boxes, they were Bishop Street. I don't think, as far as I'm aware now, but I don't think they went to Talla.
But as a child, that's my memory of Jacobs, that we used to go and pick out the biscuits.
And the shipping of those biscuits, was there a special compartment where they were they put in a container? Do you remember that?
No, that'd be the warehouse end of it. We wouldn't have been bothered. I mean, we knew they went to the warehouse and then they obviously were shipped from the warehouse into... But that end of it would have been nothing to do. We would very seldom, personally, have to go to the warehouse for anything.
Yeah.
So we knew it was a big area, it was a cold area, and it was. But we wouldn't have no reason to go out as bonus or wages or payroll people to go out that area at all.
Yeah. The jobs you were both doing, you were dealing with cash. You were dealing with paying out money to people. How did the logistics of doing that? Did you go to the bank on Friday or...?
Well, originally Securico or wherever the group would come into the pay hatch, which the security were right outside it. They'd come in, we'd lock up, close up, let them in, and then we would physically make up the money. I'd get, say, the mallow to do. I'd have my envelopes, I'd have my payroll, and I'd put it in, leave the envelopes open, because in case there's anything wrong, if you're over, you had €2, or whatever it was before we went to euros, you had to go back and check every single one of them again before you could close your envelopes and then open up the hatches and pay out. So in that stage, it was a very responsible job because you were literally putting the money into the pay slips, putting the pay slips, rolling the pay slips into the envelopes, money, seal them eventually. But you had to make sure that you had everything was gone from your table. Whatever money you had, that had to be right, even up to a penny. If you had a penny over, you had to go back and check them all again. So you were very careful, take your time and just make sure that everything was right.
You were dealing in old money.
Yes.
So you had the big £20 note, the ten shillings.
Yeah. It's hard to believe, like, you know what I mean? Just when you think back that we were, but we did. But then, of course, it all changed and it was done. They came in, made up. So we just had to put them into their departments, open up the hatches, and I did the mallow, we say, in the chocolate room, someone else doing the bakehouse, someone else doing the creaming, someone else doing the assortments. We just opened up the hatch and paid out.
What was the money like, say, in old money, in those early days? What was the average kind of wage that somebody got?
Now you have me. I'm afraid my memory's not that good now. I'm afraid money and me, I just put the money into it and then look, pay it out. I'm afraid I can't tell you what the average wages were now.
But do you remember dealing with, say, the half crown, the 5 shilling piece, the
when did that happen?
Shilling.
When was that in?
That was the '60s and seventies.
Well, when did it change over to euro though?
Oh, because now you have me.
I started in 1974, so I don't remember that clearly dealing in shillings and pence.
February 1971, there was a money change.
Ah, well then, so I didn't deal with it. I lied. Mm.